And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. This week, our nation's blacks celebrate the birth of the great civil rights leader, Martin Luther King. Or perhaps it's his death. Either way, this legendary American once stood with Abraham Lincoln on the steps of a great monument and asked the world, "What are you dreaming about?" We must never forget his great words. "I am dreaming," he said, "that we will one day increase the troops in whatever foreign war might be going on in the future." We must take heed these wise words, for they are just as true today as they were when he spoke them some 400 years ago. We're always going to remember Martin Luther King for standing up to the powerful new steam-powered spike driver on the railroads. Martin Luther King was the fastest steel-driving man of his day. So one day he challenged the machine head-on in a great steel-driving contest. Who would win, man or machine? Though he collapsed and died in his effort, he freed all the slaves in the end, sealing his legacy forever. Enjoy your Martin Luther King holiday, and God bless you.
A public service of The Onion, brought to you by weeklyradioaddress.com.
It's 48 seconds after the hour of 11 in this month of January, the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming by, making it part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming by. It is Tuesday, and we're here. I don't know where you are. I have no idea. Maybe you're...
I think most people are home.
Most people are either at home or sitting on the roads wondering exactly how they got themselves into the paralyzed...
I'm waiting for the plow.
Nope. There are no plows. Just sitting there looking around, watching your gas gauge getting closer and closer to E. Just wondering if you're going to be one of those embarrassing guys who has to get out of the car and then hoof it all the way to the office.
You should have stocked emergency supplies.
Leaving your abandoned automobile in the middle of the Ross Island Bridge. By the way, I'd like to thank the several people who did that this morning. Here's the thing. Whatever you do, if your car's starting to run out of gas, whatever you do, don't get out of the road. Just stay there. Just leave it. Just leave it wherever
it's right in the middle of the road.
It'll be easier to find later. Don't pull over to the shoulder. Whatever you don't do, parking lot, side street, arterial for pussies. Just leave the car in the middle of the road so it can block me, Rick Emerson, as I'm attempting to get here to the coin tower.
Oh, do you worry.
All right. It's 503-733-2970 if you'd like to be part of today's program. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like.
It's a busy news day. We're gathering as we speak.
It's the loudest paper rustling I've ever heard.
How can we hear that so well?
Has the microphone been reprocessed?
I guess the microphone has been fixed now that we're ready to move. We're going to have to do it all over again.
Now that we're getting ready to change studios, the phones are going to work today. Everything's going to function flawlessly. Now that we are 13, that is a one out of three, 13 days away from moving into the Rick Emerson Studios East. Now, I can't give it away because I don't know what it is. I'm just going to say that I was talking to Jeff McGinley last night. And he had stopped by asking me some questions about the setup in the studio, microphone placement, and bifurcated invertebrators, and if we're going to make it all 220, and blah, 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 blah. So he's talking to me about whatever, and I don't even want to say it. Part of me doesn't even want to say this. But then I guess I might as well, because I don't really know. This sentence makes no sense to anybody. No, this is what he said. So Jeff, the chief engineer, was sitting in my office, and he said, "Well, Rick, and I want you to know..." And I'm doing a really bad impression of Jeff McGinley because he sounds nothing like this.
Nothing like that.
I'm making him sound like some...
I was trying to figure out who you're trying to say.
I'm making him sound like some sort of middle management, general sales manager guy. But, Rick, I want you to know we've set up something a little special for you in the new studio. And I said, "What's that?" And again, I'm not going to tell you. And if you know anything about me, you know that Rick Emerson doesn't like surprises. Rick Emerson likes things that are predictable and staid. Rick Emerson likes things that are structured. Rick Emerson likes things that are routine, that are habitual. I'm not a big fan of surprises, but it was just something. He had this sort of impish grin on his face as he was saying it last night. So I don't know what it is, and I really don't know. But 13...
Wait,
hold on a second. Sarah's apparently receiving an urgent cell phone.
No, I'm taking you on the air. No, my friend Jay found you seats for your Forerunner.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I need to come over and check out
familiar.
Your car.
Christmas.
Yeah.
All right. Very little effort went into that, sir.
Yeah, I'll tell you later.
Wait a minute, Jay. Okay, why do these seats say R-E on the side? Why? Okay. Why is there poodle hair on
those friends? He can get them for you in a couple days.
Really?
And then you'll have a car.
Now, Tim has made me all suspicious, though. Yeah, my friend just happens to have.
And you'll walk
seats.
Up wearing your shoes.
Totally. Completely. Excellent. So I'll have. Man, I could. And not to knock Jay, because I'm glad that he's going to have the seats for me in a couple of days. Now, I'll have to pay him to install those, too, of course. Because you can't just set them in there, right? You can't. My truck got, for the name, my truck got stolen, and then I found the truck, but they kept the seats. That's like a take the gun, leave the cannoli kind of a thing.
Maybe see,
Wouldn't you rather pay him than some random car guy, knowing that Jay is a really hardworking guy?
No, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. It's more of a cursing the thieves thing. Like, I don't have a problem with paying Jay. Find some seats, Jay. I'm willing to toss coin Jay's way to put it. I'm just saying. The whole thing just makes me irritated again that the truck got stolen. Boy, I could have used that this morning. That truck, boy.
That was my first thought when I saw the snow. I'm like, I bet one's a Forerunner.
Boy. I mean, I could have driven it. I just would have been, because there's no seats, I would have been doing this weird, like, standing up. It would have been like I was on the back of, like one of those, like, the Iditarod. Like, I would have been standing up in the middle of the Forerunner, like a rope lashing me to the wheel. What was my point? Oh, so we're going to be moving into the Rick Emerson Studio East in 13 days. And so Jeff McGinley last night is sitting across from my desk, and he goes, Rick, and we've cooked up a little surprise for you. And I said, Rick Emerson doesn't like surprises. And he said, you're going to like this one. And I said, what is it? And he said, well, if I told you, it wouldn't be a surprise. And then we just kind of looked at each other for a long 3 seconds, and then I just acknowledged that was the case.
This is the story you're telling.
I'm just saying, I don't know what it is, but apparently when we move in a new studio, he said, and this is the thing, he said that they're not going to put it in 1 second earlier than we go in because he doesn't want us to know. So I don't know. Maybe your dreams of a brass pole inside the studio will finally come true.
Fingers crossed.
They're installing something. There's going to be something exciting in the studio. And he won't tell me what it is. And it's not going to go in, like, even a day before they're going to put it in, like, moments before we enter the studio. So, I have no idea. So, you have that to linger on. All right. Hello. It's 503-733-2970. You can email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Don't get that excited. It's probably not anything exceptional.
Maybe it's a record player.
Oh, how great would that be?
How cool would that be?
See, you know what we're going to do? We're going to brainstorm 13 days worth of things that it's not. And then he's just going to feel bad about the whole... Let's forget we had this conversation. So Jay found seats to the... Let me ask you this. Where did he find these seats to a 400? Did they...
Well, Jay...
Fall off the back of a truck?
Jay works for an auto body shop.
Mm-hmm.
No, he knows somebody who deals with 4Runner parts. I don't know.
Well, he's a businessman. Sharply dressed and wearing a nice new pair of business shoes.
Yeah, the way Jay said it was pretty, he's like, hey, so I got the seats. It's going to take a couple days.
Did he say it in that kind of a voice?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And did he start it with those six words? I know a guy who deals. Now, you can't say you got these seats from me. The code word is Ignatius. All right.
I'm sure they're very legal.
No. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. Rick Emerson, I'm telling you right now, I am willing to buy stolen merchandise if it'll make my truck run again. I don't care. I've bought stolen merchandise in the past. I know that's why my seats were stolen this time. It's karma coming around. I figure it's my turn again. You know what I mean? I buy stolen merchandise years ago. My seats get stolen last week. Now it's my turn to buy some more stolen goods for less than one might have to pay retail. Doesn't matter to me. I don't care. And so is this Aaron right here? Okay, so we'll get Aaron here in a second.
I wonder if he's at work. And if so, how he arrived?
Probably not. I mean, I am curious about who's at work. And we are here today, and as Sarah pointed out, as we're getting ready to go on the air, not even a question.
I love days like this.
You know what? At no point did it ever even enter the equation that we would take the day off, because that's not what we do here. Today, as like all days, we come to work, and we execute this radio program with the greatest degree of quality known to man. That's what we do. So, Scotty, how ironic that as I'm typing that, Scotty's typing the screen. I'll be gone for a while. Answer the phones. All right. I'm just going to, hello, whoever this is, I'm putting you in a hold. There you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us today, you can do that. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick@rickemerson.com. We're here in beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. We'll talk snow and all that here in a second. Without further ado, let's go ahead.
Hold me.
Ow, that's loud.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend Aaron Geek in the city, Duran. Hello, sir.
Hello there. How are you doing today?
Are you at work?
What?
Are you at work, sir?
Yeah, unfortunately, I am. The man is saying I'm out of spite today.
Now, I didn't think you worked for the man. I thought you used to work for the man, but now you worked for some sort of
lady.
To me, they're all the man. They're all rich white men. They're the man.
That is true.
All the man.
That is true.
So on the bus side, while I was on hold, I watched a Mercedes slide in and clip a homeless person who was jaywalking. So the day has gotten better.
Oh, that's like three great things happening at once.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that's like
great.
That's like Kwanzaa and Hanukkah and Rosh Hashanah or some other, no, not that, Ramadan, all happening at once.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Fantastic. Who are you rooting for?
You know, it's hard to say.
I mean, were you...
Was there much damage to the Mercedes?
Well, it was a homeless person with lots of metal spikes all over his body.
Well, I was going to say...
Damaging the Mercedes.
I was going to say, homeless people are a little bony. That can ship your paint. You don't want to...
Yeah.
If you hit, like, a suburban person, they're kind of squishy. You hit it...
Yeah.
Really, if you have to hit somebody with your car, and I'm not advocating you do that, I'm just saying, let's say, God forbid, you're speeding down a hill, Dennis Hopper in... Dennis Weaver in Duel, Steven Spielberg's first feature film style. You're going down a hill, you've got no brakes on your car is going 100 miles an hour, you've got to go either down the left fork of the road or the right fork of the road. Down the left fork of the road is a nice, squishy suburban person, down the right fork of the road is a homeless man. Always aim for the suburbanite because they're going to do less damage to your car because they are heavier, but it's sort of a spongy weight. And they'll
not necessarily.
Well, there's no
tone to him. I mean, like hitting Scotty J would just turn him into a pancake. But this homeless guy was like hitting a fully armored dwarf.
That's what I'm saying. If you hit a homeless guy, you're going to lose you're going to lose a part of your windshield. You might lose a headlight. So, excellent.
Yeah, the only thing that would have made it better is if they had like a pit bull on a string or something that could have been dragged along by the sliding Mercedes.
I think we've taken this phone call about as far as we can. Okay.
Yeah, the man posing me. They're forcing us to stay open. Our mail room is closed.
That's
our
okay.
Phone lines are shut down.
It doesn't matter, brother. We're here. Rick Emerson is here. The Rick Emerson Show is fully armed and even Scotty J, who lives in the suburbs, is here today. And Scotty, can I tell you this, and I apologize now from me to you, that part of us, there are elements of the Rick Emerson Show, there are factions of the Rick Emerson Show that didn't think you would be here today. I'm not going to name names. I'm just going to say that there were people on the Rick Emerson Show staff who speculated that you might not make it in today.
People named Rick Emerson?
I didn't say that. Now, we're not going to reveal who those people were. But you know, no, but you're a trooper, and you made it in. To be honest, we thought that you would get about halfway here and then call it a day. Here's what my speculation was, Scotty.
Don't, pony. I'm sorry. I'm just enjoying the show on the road here.
Did somebody hit somebody else?
Yeah, well, almost. This one's a toss-up, too. This was a Toyota Prius that almost hit a rich man with a briefcase. So, who do you vote for on that?
Now, see, this is sort of, it's like an automobile snowbound death match kind of a thing.
Hmm. Yeah, kind of like Thunderdome, but in the middle of downtown.
That's the phrase of the day. I figured Scotty would get about halfway here from the suburbs and then realize he couldn't make it or just be so bound up on the highway that he just had to call it a day. But I should have known he is a trooper. Scotty really is. He's a soldier. So God bless him. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do today. Let's see. What have we got? The city paralyzed. Our city is paralyzed by the snowification of the streetality.
We've misunderestimated the weather.
Our city is paralyzed by nitwits. Entercom killed a guy. We're going to continue to read that story once a day, every day for the duration of the week. Today
there's more on that.
Do we have sound?
Yes, we do.
Is it a whole lot of...
No, we have an apology.
Okay.
or an understanding.
I've been waiting for an apology from Entercom for over a year now. I'm glad that's finally forthcoming.
Well, it's from a different cluster.
You know, Entercom.
Ours does not issue apologies. Does nothing wrong.
I was going to... Don't delude yourself.
I can't say there is...
The Entercom here is a cluster, too. Let's see. Don't get in front of a truck carrying gasoline. Also, Dennis Pitzenbarger is back for no reason today. We will have Bob Costantini, political firework! Jim Roop, who was bored stiff at the Golden Globes, will now bring his boredom and his stiffness to the radio waves. Don't laugh, I'm trying to forward promote.
faster.
And
it'd be stiff for you.
And that's about it. And Scotty J has created a special sounder for today's snow conditions.
It's almost ready. So. There's a little notation there, perhaps it is now.
Oh, it is. It's excellent. Okay, so we'll play that here in a short while. There you go. And I'm at what, 5 or 4 from yesterday? How many push-ups am I at yesterday?
Chris says you're at 4 or 5, depending if you count the Weekend Geek as 2 missed items yesterday.
No, that's 1. How can that count as 2?
I don't know. Maybe.
No, it counts as 1 item. I'm at 4, and I will get to the Weekend Geek today. Don't laugh, you bastard.
Hey, no, I'm not grumpy. As long as I keep watching people get hit by cars, this is going to be a great day. I don't care what you do. It's going to be the best day ever.
I used to really like that when I was a kid. We lived at the bottom of a hill. And we had a big picture window in the living room, and that was our favorite winter sport. Turn off the TV.
I was going to say, it's like having a big screen high-definition television. You just sit there, and you pull up a chair and toast some marshmallows and watch people be slammed into by automobiles.
He's going to make it. He's
going
to make it.
No. Nope. Going out with boring cards and a cup of cocoa and just kind of raising them up as people crash.
Yes, yep. Seriously.
The scanner goes off, and there's entertainment right in front of you.
Yes. This is me, scanner. Go look at the bodies.
I'm sorry. Perhaps we're not... Really contrast this situation with the gravity.
I was just reliving my childhood at that snowy location.
You know, the best part is that we are, of course, at the Coin Tower, where Coin TV is. For Coin, it's like it really is the best day ever because they don't even have to go anywhere.
They don't even need an extension cord.
No, because the big tragedy, the big cluster F, is right up front here because they just last week moved the bus mall to literally the street in front of our building, and that's where that big disaster is this morning because the buses were slamming into parked cars. And so the Coin guys didn't even need to leave the office. They just kind of opened the window and stuck a camera. As you can see, Bob, it's literally like 30 feet from their newsroom. So it's a good day to be Coin.
I did watch a KPAM reporter fall down in the snow, too. That was fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was out there recording people. So, what do you think of this weather? And all of a sudden, he was, whoa! Down he went. I can only hope it was live.
I regret everything! All right.
That's why I stay in here where safe reporting is done.
That's fantastic. I mean, look, we can make up the news from in here. Why go and make it up from out there? What's the point?
I'll go outside if you want.
Yeah, maybe later.
Okay.
We could have you stand on top of the top of the roof again.
I'm not going up there.
You can go to the top and just drop a snowball and determine how long it will take to fall.
I don't think you can drop anything. No, you can't drop anything straight down.
No, you have to throw it out. No, you'd have to throw it.
If you look at the top of that, it goes in
from the top of the coin tower.
That's what I'm saying.
The audience wants to know.
You could wad a snowball and then you could throw it straight out and it would drop down.
I don't think I could throw that far.
Oh, I bet somebody could.
Oh, Range Rover sliding in the intersection. Ah, damn, it stopped in time.
All right. Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
There you go. That's Aaron making his own fun, Geek in the City Duran. There you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We have a caller from... We have a guy from TriMet that we'll get here in a second.
Oh, that's
those TriMet guys, it's like the best of days, worst of days for them.
Yep.
Because there is no middle ground. You know, I'm not knocking the TriMet guys. They have a tough job to do. It's just the downtown. They got hit by the snow before they had a chance to chain up.
Yeah.
And that ended badly. All right. Sarah?
Yeah?
You are here. You made it in. You were prepared to walk, which, by the way, is what separates us from everybody who's not us.
I would have walked, too.
See, that's what
all the way from the west side, if need be.
Sarah called me this morning. She's like, I'm walking from one bus stop to another. They're all closed, but I will walk across the Ross Island Bridge if I must. And so she was all prepared to.
And the bus wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. I was hoping that maybe it was going to be free today. I was really. Cause
was
I
it thought, not free?
No, it wasn't free.
Well, it runs all night on days like this, though. Does it become free at night?
Why would it become free?
Well, because they have to run
it. I thought
because
it was a crazy snow day that they would be nice.
Yeah.
I guess not.
Bastards.
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't as crowded as I thought it would be at all.
No, because everybody decided, like myself, everybody was stupid and decided to drive.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd known how bad it was going to be, I would have taken the bus. I had no idea. I'm like, because I thought, terrible snow day, everybody will have stayed home. That was my thing. I'll get on the road, it'll be fine. No, that was not the case. Tim Riley's working on the following stories for you today.
Pandemonium is 70, yes, 70 unchained TriMet buses are stuck in the snow.
Bam!
School buses slide and crash in the coupe. Nobody's hurt. First there's school, then there isn't. Motorists are stranded on unplowed highways to fend up for themselves. And chains and traction tires are now required on all metro highways. Don't ask me how they're going to enforce that, but if you don't listen... It's your tough luck now.
Seriously, what are they going to do? Pull you over and ticket you? That's a completely useless regulation.
Barack Obama takes running for president seriously. He'll be the first Irishman since President Kennedy to do so. Britney Spears' lack of underwear causes her to lose a coveted Super Bowl spot. And Intercom apologizes sympathetically for killing a listener in an ill-conceived contest.
Sorry. I was thinking of a funny joke I heard yesterday. That involved Intercom killing a guy. Anywho, All right, well, we got Tim here, we got Mike, and then we got Scotty Snowsounder we'll get to. Let's see, Mike from TriMet. Hello, sir.
It is not free today.
Okay, yeah, no, Sarah's made me aware
Rick,
of that.
For God's sake. Can I give, are you there?
I didn't say it was free. I never made that observation.
It would be a nice gesture if it was.
Can I give the unofficial TriMet version of what's happening?
Absolutely.
Sure. You've listened to Mary Fetch and all the good stuff. It is not free. It is never free. Okay?
Crazy. Free on New Year's Eve, isn't it?
TriMet goes by the same rules of gravity that everybody else does. We can only go as fast as the slowest person in front of us.
Okay, I think you misconstrued what we were saying. I was saying that the bus wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
That's what I'm saying. The bus was fine.
There was no insulting, and it's kind of strange.
No, that was early in the morning. No, it's changed drastically since then.
I was just saying, somebody
I'm sure it has.
Someone sounds a little defensive, Mike.
I have been sitting at Hillsboro Transit Center for 4.5 hours. Because I slid across the max tracks, and they won't bring me change. I can't go forward. I can't go back. I've got so many people coming up to me that are just irate because...
We'll be nice, because I think you're in the midst of a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. I am in the midst of a nervous breakdown, yes. But anyway,
so it's not
our fault.
So what you're saying is the bus is free today?
Yeah, it's free. Everybody's free today, yeah.
Now they're running 24 hours in situations like this, right?
No, we're not. No.
The engine's running 24 hours.
The buses keep to its normal schedule.
I thought that when the road started to ice over, you guys ran all the time to keep the roads clear.
No, Max does. Max runs 24 hours a day to keep the ice off the overhead lines.
Oh.
Well, you ought to put me in charge of this city then, because I would have the buses running all the time, because that would keep the roads clear, wouldn't it?
It would use up a lot of extra fuel.
The roads clear? Unless you had a bus every 3 feet and ran a toast. As soon as the vehicle, goes over the ice, it refreezes right after it.
I was gone that day in science class.
Yeah, you were gone from physics 101.
Yeah, I don't know anything about anything.
For some reason, when it snows, everybody decides at that particular instant that they have to get outside.
You're a very angry bus driver.
I'm an angry bus driver.
Well, he's teetering halfway over a cliff and no one's coming to help him.
That's right. I am. But I am getting paid. I mean, I'm getting paid for doing absolutely nothing, but it's so frustrating sitting here.
As long as my tax dollars are being used. So let me understand this. So you were driving this morning. You slid across some max tracks because you were not...
chained up.
You were not chained. So did you have to abandon your bus, or are you still in the bus?
Oh, I'm sitting on it.
Now, is the bus still on the max tracks? Where is the bus now?
Bus on the max tracks.
So the max...
In Hillsboro. I am wedged across the street.
And so the max can't go anywhere either?
Not past me, no.
Maybe if it hit you 3 or 4 times real hard and then backed up, it might be able to.
Yeah, but see, with the ice on the track, see what happens is the problem is with me blocking the tracks now, the trains can't move, so the tracks ice up, and then when I move, the trains can't move because the tracks are iced up. And the overhead lines will ice up, so it's just shutting down the entire system. But the good thing is I'm about 2 blocks from the end of the line.
So really, you are responsible for everything bad that happens from this point forward. You are the first domino.
Well, the last 2 blocks in Hillsboro I'm responsible for, but up the line, that's what happened downtown today is all the buses spun out on the max tracks.
Where are the passengers that were on your bus? Where did they go?
They're buried in the mass grave.
I don't know. They walked off into the blinding snowstorm and they're gone. I don't know. After they leave my bus, I don't care.
They're frozen in position like Pompeii victims.
Civic service at its finest.
They could be doing lots of things, but they're not on my bus, so I didn't take him to raise, so I don't know what happened.
Eat the buttocks first. All right. That's fantastic. But that is really government action is fun. I don't know. Out of sight, out of mind. That's my motto. Oh, that's fantastic.
But the problem is, too, is I'm blocking the max track, so there's about 10 buses right in back of me that can't move either. So.
Oh.
The Hillsboro Transit Center is basically plugged with buses that can't move because I can't move.
You're a bus plug?
But you think in the 4.5 hours I've been sitting here, they'd send some chains out to get me moved?
No, what? No, why? When think of all the free hilarity that we're getting out of this. I don't want them to chain you up.
That's why I called. I mean, I was so glad you guys came on the air so I could have somebody to talk to.
Maybe they were sent by mail. Maybe specify how you wanted them sent.
What if the irony might be this? What if they're trying to send you the chains via the Max? That would really be the...
Oh, hey, that would be catch-22, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's the snake eating its tail. All right. All right, well, sir, if you're still stuck in a while, give us another call back. We'd love to hear from you.
Sure, I'll give you a call. That would be great, because I'm not going anywhere, so...
All right, rub your hands together for warmth, Mike.
Oh, no, the bus is on, and I'm plenty warm.
All right, fantastic.
Hey, I want to just burn up diesel fuel by the gallon, you know?
thank you, sir.
See you later.
All right, there you go. That's Mike. All right.
Yeah. Oh, Mike.
The bitterest bus driver on earth.
That sucks. They left him out there for 4.5 hours by himself.
I like that part how he just kicked everybody off the bus. Walk into the snow. Leave me now. Where do they go? I don't know. Excellent. I don't think I got enough credit for use of the term bus plug just now, by the way.
Nobody noticed that.
Tim and I both laughed.
Yeah, that's what I do. We found it amusing.
All right. Well, we should break here. I haven't even talked about
bus
anything.
Plug.
Bus plug. Zing. A now rapist. Hold on a second. What time is it? Oh, we do have to... Well, do we have to break now?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. We'll break. We'll come back.
Guess who we have at the bottom of the hour?
Bob Costantini.
Woo!
Bam! And then we'll talk more about the snow. We'll probably go to the Ministry of Truth. Ministry of Truth. The Ministry of Truth early.
Do you think anyone's even listening today? No. Everyone's probably sleeping.
No. Everybody's stuck in their car.
Everyone's watching the same car stuck by the side of the road as they show it over and over again.
And let me just tell you this. Now, it's not that I don't listen to the station normally, because I do. But, you know, my commute, if when I drive, my commute is not all that long, typically speaking. It's like 10, 12, 15, 20. Like on a bad day, 20 minutes. And so I'll listen to Stephanie Miller.
And then this morning, 90 minutes?
Yeah. So I sat and I listened to Stephanie Miller for 2 hours this morning.
How was it?
It's like a 10-minute trip. And like, at 2 in the morning, no traffic. From my house to here is like 8-9 minutes. I mean, it's very short. This morning, I left my house at right around 8, and I got here just before 10. So that's, I mean, so I had that, and what did I do? I sat and listened to the radio. That's what the radio, that's what they call it, drive time. I mean, the radios, people listen when they're in their car. So everybody who's stuck in their car right now, if you're stuck in your car and can go nowhere, we'd like to hear from you. All right, we should break here. We'll come back. We've got more calls. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, Bob Costantini, and more about the icy white death coming your way. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Taking very good care of himself.
Let her look a little better?
No. No, Brad Pitt, I think, to distract us, so she looks better by comparison. No, I think he got tired of the Golden Boy, Pretty Boy, Legends of the Fall thing, and that's why he's, like, notching his teeth up for Fight Club and let himself look all bad in whatever that 100th monkey, 12 monkeys, whatever it is. and then now, that new movie where he's just got those huge bags under his eyes, looks all bad and whatnot. I think he's just trying to look bad because he wants to be taken seriously as an actor.
Oh
my God, I saw the... Did you see Corey Haim last night on VH1?
No.
I just turned to Stephanie Miller just there. Jesus Christ, let me write down... Hold on, I gotta make a note. I can't get sidetracked because we got Bob Costantini to get to. Corey... I almost wrote down Bob Haim. Corey Haim.
I've seen something recently, but he's just crazy.
Oh, God. I mean, it's the horror... and then we'll get Tim about my truck. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Bob Costantini!
Hello?
Hello, sir.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
How are you?
Just fine, just fine. The B to the O to the B.
Yeah!
Excellent. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, God. Well, it's good to have you back, sir. Now, let me ask you this. How much notice do you get on these mornings that you're going to be in for Lisa?
Oh, I knew, what was it, last week that she was going to be off today.
You know, I think Lisa deliberately doesn't tell us when she's going to be gone because she doesn't want to hurt our feelings. I think that she doesn't want to inflict the prior stress on us of us knowing that she's going to be gone. And so she prefers just to sort of, you know, just to sort of have the bad news sort of broken to us abruptly when we come in the morning. Not that the bad news is that you're here. Oh, I realize.
She'll be back tomorrow. Don't
worry. No. Now, see, I feel bad. I feel bad that I've. The bad news is not that we're talking to you. The bad news is just a disruption in my routine because I'm a creature of habit. While I've got you here, though. No, while I've got you here, have we already asked you this business of your preferred drink? Because we are creating a drink recipe card file. Because at some point we plan on having all of the CNN personalities, and that includes you, Bob Costantini, to Portland, Oregon. What is your preferred? Well, let me. It's a two-part question. A. Could you possibly guess what Lisa Goddard's preferred drink is? Her drink of choice. And I know the answer to this, but I'm seeing if you do it. It's not like I... There will be no penalty if you don't know it. I'm just curious because it's not anything you would expect her to drink.
Well, let's see. She's tall and thin. I'm tempted to say martini.
No, actually. No, it is not a martini. It is... I swear to God, straight shots of vodka.
Oh, okay. Well, that might have been my next choice.
It was not Jim Roop's choice. Jim Roop was both stunned and then impressed, I think. And I think a little aroused that was her drink of choice. And I think it's because she lived in Russia for a few years. And that's, as she put it herself, that's, quote, how those people roll. So
yes.
I think in Russia you just got to drink vodka all the time to kill the parasitic infections that are constantly lodging in your bowels from all of their undercooked food. That's just a guess.
In fact, there's a picture of here in the booth up here on Capitol Hill of her wearing a large fur hat.
Oh, like the Russian, like the KGB?
And a Russian, Russian Orthodox church in the background here.
Like the KGB hat?
Yeah, it's clearly... Clearly taken in Russia.
Fantastic. So your drink of choice, Bob Costantini, is?
I think I may have mentioned this, but it is scotch.
It is
a splash of soda.
Splash of soda. Hold on.
Yes.
Scotch and soda, as celebrated in the Kingston Trio song of the same name.
Something like that, yes.
Scotch and soda, jigger of gin. Oh, what a state you've got me in. Oh, my. All right, hold on. That's my favorite Kingston Trio song, by the way, for anybody who's playing the Rick Emerson home game. All right, scotch... And soda, mud in your eye, baby, do I feel high. Oh, me, oh, my, Bob Costantini. Fantastic. All right, Bob. Let's talk about my new best friend. I'm really sorry about implying that you were the bad news, that seeing your name on the... I'm just going to rue that. I'm going to replaying that. It's like when you're on the phone with a girl asking her to the prom, and then you flub, and you call her by her roommate's name or something, and then you're ruining it the rest of the day. Let me ask you this about my new best friend, Barack Obama.
All right.
Now, it is... There's so many layers to this. Is it now official, or is it just official that it's going to be official?
Well, what he does is you file papers with the Federal Election Commission to start spending some money on a presidential run. In other words, and you set up an exploratory committee, which then takes a serious look at how much money you can raise, how much of a base of support you have, that kind of thing. And, of course, money is the big factor in all of this. Barack Obama has been polling generally second in presidential primary preferences among Democrats, second only, of course, to Hillary Clinton. And she's got tens of millions of dollars already to go for her presidential bid. He, on the other hand, is a rising star, was on Oprah, got a tacit endorsement from her, and, you know, but it's decided that he really needs to start seriously thinking about this, and that's what this is.
Now, when you say polling second, is that among citizens, the people, or among the players in the Democratic Party?
In both. I've seen polls that say, you know, whom do you want the Democratic nominee to be? And in both instances, it's Hillary Clinton first. And Barack Obama has been polling, again, consistently second in these polls because he's widely known now. I mean, just one appearance on Oprah puts him before millions of people, and that's largely driving the buzz about him, I think.
I think that Hillary probably has the advantage at this point, and this is just my estimation, and I'll tell you why. Because it does seem like I mean, look, the steamer trunk full of dirty laundry that Hillary Clinton has, I mean, that thing has been emptied out, dumped out, poured over, sifted through, and analyzed for, you know, over a decade now. And yet she's still polling ahead of Barack Obama, who, again, I have nothing against the guy, but it seems like, I mean, look, unless they literally find, like, an actual real skeleton in her closet, I mean, like a body skeleton, it doesn't really seem like there's, like, what could you possibly say? In other words, the polarization about Hillary Clinton is done. It's finished. The people who hate her already hate her. The people who decided to stick with her aren't going to abandon her if they find yet one more shady real estate deal somewhere. It's like that. Her numbers are where they're going to be. Barack Obama, though, is still in the golden boy stage, right? Where he's perfect, and he's perfect until they start finding, you know, whatever out about it. Because he already, I know there was some scandal. He already admitted that he used cocaine at one point. And
yes, in a book.
Yeah, and again, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. But it does seem like he's in that position that, you know, the lot of candidates are in, where people love him because they don't really know a whole lot about him right now. So the only place he can go is down, probably.
That's probably a good way of looking at it, truthfully, Rick. But, you know, it's one of the things that we will determine sooner or later. As he pointed out today in this announcement, or at least he intimated in the announcement, that he had nothing to do with the Iraq War. In other words, he was a state senator in October of 2002 when the Iraq War resolution was voted on here on Capitol Hill, and just about everybody else in the Senate who is running for president, including Hillary Clinton, voted for that resolution. So it's one of those things that he might figure that he can, you know, make himself a little more popular among the large, more liberal-leaning base of the Democratic Party, however you want to say it. And, you know, he doesn't have that strike against him, if you will. And that was something that Howard Dean had going for him in 2004. But that eventually gave way to people's perceptions that, you know, we better put up a safer candidate, not someone who's so liberal. And that's one of the things that could be Achilles heel for Barack Obama. By and large, his voting record is really leans towards the liberal side. And we'll hear more about that, I guess, as time goes by.
I think that the advantage that Hillary Clinton has, and again, is that you just pointed it out, is that Barack Obama just this feeling either correct or simply a belief that he is very liberal. Whereas Hillary Clinton, she has this interesting duality, which I find fascinating, which is on the one hand, people, and by people I mean my in-laws, hate her because she's apparently so liberal and she's such a so-called bleeding heart and universe. She has this crazy idea that people ought to have health insurance and so forth. And yet, on the other hand, I don't think there's anybody who doubts that she would just immediately, like, crush anybody who needed crushing. And I mean, in a militaristic sense. I mean, she does have this sort of Thatcheresque vibe that, like, if you tried to cross the United States while Hillary Clinton was president, she would kill you. She would kill you. She would kill your children, your parents' friends, people who owed you money. She would kill people with the same last name. She would kill people in neighboring villages. She would kill people who looked like you. I don't think anybody has any doubt that she's got a spine of steel. I mean, the fact that she's stuck with that pig of a husband of hers for so long indicates that, if nothing else, I mean, she's, you know, she's got a cast iron stomach. You know what I mean?
Yes. And folks out there, remember, these are all Rick's words, not mine.
Thank you. That's,
how's that?
Thank you.
That's for a disclaimer. That's the thing that makes Barack Obama so, you know, attractive, is that people do not have a very set, hard opinion about him at this point, and that's may develop sooner or later as we learn more about him.
And while we're on the subject, real quickly, is there any timeline on when Hillary's going to make it official?
No, but I think it seems to me that she's going to start feeling pressure on all of this. If Obama does gain a considerable amount of traction, I mean, the other candidates, you know, they're all dark horses in a sense compared to the two of them. So, I mean, you know, if Obama starts gaining traction, then she may be under kind of pressure to get moving. There are, listen to this, there are debates now scheduled in South Carolina and Iowa, New Hampshire, all coming up in the next few months. So we're really into the 2008 presidential campaign season pretty much right now.
Oh, I can't wait. It makes me giddily excited. Hey, and as a final note, is it true that Hillary Clinton's in Iraq right now?
She was in Iraq.
Do you suppose they knew that was happening? Or, I mean, did the Iraqis know she was going to be there? Is that a thing where you just kind of drop in unannounced so you can get your picture taken with the Baghdad, like, post office in the background, and then you go home again?
They tend not to announce these things all that much beforehand for security reasons, because going to Iraq is still quite dangerous at this point. But it was, I do believe it was announced on Friday that she was going, along with a delegation of other senators, including Evan Bayh of Indiana. They were supposed to talk about that today and give their overall impressions of the situation, but that news conference actually had to be canceled because one of the other people on the trip got sick and could not attend it today.
All right. Bob Costantini, ladies and gentlemen. And now, Sarah, let's give him a big farewell. Let's give him the outro as well. We'll just go ahead and take him out.
Thank
again.
You, right.
Ladies and gentlemen, political firecracker, Bob Costantini. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rick.
They're fire.
It doesn't really sound like fireworks.
Fireworks. Scotty made these. It's not my fault. Scotty's typing the screen. They're fireworks. I know. I'm.
Didn't you stop
it sounds
them?
Like some sort of a rickety roller coaster with a horse on it. I don't know what that is.
What?
All right. Thanks, Scotty. I appreciate that. Well done. And by well done, I mean.
I think you're being a little mean to Bob Costantini.
I'm not. How was I mean? I apologize. I didn't mean.
But didn't you take him out? Because he knows he's not the most upbeat person. You take him out saying political firecracker Bob Costantini?
It's irony. It's there's a little bit of ironic humor in this. Now look, I don't mind a tinge of irony in my humor now and again. It's playful sarcasm. And
you're doing it right to his face.
See, that's what I'm saying. Bob had a good time today is what Scotty J is saying. Bob enjoyed it. Didn't he sound like he was having a good time? And especially at that point when he had to awkwardly distance himself from my comments about Bill Clinton being a pig and Hillary Clinton offering, just killing everybody who would cross her. All right. Corey Haim. No, I got to say this and then, well, let's see, what time is it? It's 48. I got a few minutes, right? Oh, and I got to get these calls and then so forth. Bob should never distance himself from your comments. It's 503-733-2970. We didn't even get to that thing yesterday about Scotty and his wallet. We got to get to that. All right, so real quickly, Corey Haim. Boy, goddamn, is he fat. And that's really all I have to say about
that. Oh, really? I thought he was just crazy.
Jesus. Lara and I were talking about we were watching the VH1's, like, 100 Greatest Child Stars of All Time last night, because we're lame. And so she's kind of sick, so she was sitting on the couch, like, with her soup or whatever. And so we're just sitting there, and we're kind of chilling out, watching VH1, 100 Greatest Child Stars. And they're counting down, and I was just, man, and my whole thing with watching that 100 Greatest Child Stars is just to see Kim Fields. And not as a child, by the way. I should take great pains to point that out, that I was not necessarily looking. When I was 12, I was interested in seeing Kim Fields at 12. Now that I'm an adult, I just wait for those before and after shots. And you know what I'm talking about out there if you're a Kim Fields fan, where they say, she was the adorable, braced up, you know, or whatever, with braces, you know, roller skating duty on the Facts of Life. But now she's all woman. And then they show Kim Fields now, who is just, like, blindingly hot. I mean, just hotter than you can possibly, hotter than the surface of the sun. And so my whole thing is just waiting to see Kim Fields. But they keep cutting. Do you ever do this where you're watching the news and they're interviewing somebody or they're cutting back and forth to some talking head and like you don't know who it is, like, because they show the Chiron, you know, they show the graphic the first time, you know, like so-and-so. But then when they cut back to him subsequently, like in a documentary, they'll do this. First time, Henry Kissinger, you know, former Secretary of State. And then they come back later on and they don't reintroduce him with the graphic. Well, they keep showing this fat guy with this bad, spiky haircut. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. Who's that? Certainly has a lot to say about Lost Boys. Huh. Well, honey, who's the fat guy? No, I don't know either. Yeah, whatever. And then they must have some rule where, like, every four or five times they put his face on the screen, they reestablish who he is. And so watching, and it goes back the fifth time, it's like, Corey Haim. And I mean, I made this sound. I actually went, it's Corey Haim! And I'm like, back up! And she gets on that 8-second back with the TiVo. And then we freeze frame on it. And the thing is, Laura kind of has these weird gaps in her pop culture knowledge. She doesn't really know who Corey Haim is. And I know.
License to Drive?
Hello, I know. And Lost Boys. And six other films with Corey Feldman.
I saw some terrible movies he was in with Corey Feldman. What are the? Do you know all the movies that he's in with him?
No, you know, but I was just going to say that that I would give a prize to the first person who could. Hey, what do we have? Who? Chelsea Handler tickets. We have Chelsea Handler tickets today, don't we? She's coming to. Isn't it the Aladdin, that show? It's the 26th, the Aladdin. I think we have. Yeah, we have tickets to Chelsea Handler. I'll tell you what. I don't even care if you use the internet to do it. I will give a pair of tickets to see the Chelsea Handler, who's a comedian. She apparently makes people laugh. That is the 26th, I believe, 7:30, one show only at the Aladdin. I actually heard some of her stuff. It's pretty funny. I don't really like comedians, but she made me laugh. We have a pair of tickets to Chelsea Handler to the first person who can call up and name all seven films that Corey Haim and Corey Feldman did together. Just because I want to know, and I don't really have the energy to look it up myself. I don't care that much. But goddamn, he's fat. And they show him now, and it's Lars like, well, who's Corey Haim? And I went, you know, Lost Boys, the Frog Brothers, Corey Haim, you know? Santa Carla, goddamn vampires, Corey Haim. And she went, oh, Dream a Little Dream? And I went, yeah, Dream a Little Dream, Corey Haim. And she's like, that's not him. And I had to back up to where it said Corey Haim on the screen. And boy, and I have nothing to add about this except just to keep saying over and over, boy, is he fat. I mean, it's unreal. And they showed him like at some, why are you typing Goonies? Knock it off. He wasn't in the Goonies. They showed him at like some Borders book signing, and it's just a bunch of, you know, just a bunch of dumpy 30-something.
Is he morbidly obese?
He's not morbidly obese, but I mean, the problem is they keep showing him back-to-back with those photos of him when he was 16. That's the problem. I mean, he's fat. There's no doubt about it. Don't get me wrong. He's fat. Corey Haim got to eat, and he does. He's not like... He's not like like Orca fat, but I mean he's overweight, yes. But it would not be like if he was just some guy off the street that you saw, you'd be like, well, he's a big guy, you know, he's kind of a chunky guy. But when they kept showing him in like as you said, License to Drive era, where he's got the spiky kind of frosted hair and he's doing that Billy Idol kind of sneer, you know what I'm talking about, where he's curling his lips sort of Elvis style, and it's like, and look, I'm all man. And it's important that you all know that. But I can acknowledge Corey Haim is a good-looking kid. He was, I mean, I cannot even imagine how much that guy got laid in the 80s. I can't even fathom it. Because they show him, and he totally has, like, the perfect skin. And again, he's got the sneer, and it's like the lip curl, but it's not too threatening. Just a little dangerous, not too much, though. You know, it's sort of like a really watery kind. It's like a watered-down alcoholic drink kind of dangerous. But then they kept cutting back from that photo to like him going, and so I'm in Lincoln and Rhyme and Corey Feldman. And then he's,
oh.
I still consider myself a thespian. And she's all huge.
Well, that's good because maybe he's off the drugs because last time I saw him, he was all crazy, like selling all of his possessions for money.
He's on no drugs now.
Did he sound pretty coherent when he was talking?
Oh, yeah, no, he had it together. He seemed like he might have turned into one of those Kirk Cameron guys that found Jesus, though.
Oh.
Because his shirt was all open and he had, like, a little gold cross.
Mm.
And, you know, those guys, as I always say, they always find God at the bottom of the vial. You know, Jesus is always lurking at the bottom of that nickel bag. And so and drugs keep you thin. I will say that, kids. Rick Emerson is here to tell you that drugs keep you thin. And then you just become thin because you're a corpse, so you don't want to do that. But they do. And here's the other reason you don't want to stay on drugs to keep thin. Because eventually you have to quit the drugs, and then you become fat. Drugs are like, you know what drugs are like? Drugs are like a loan shark. Where the loan shark will give you $1,000 if you need it, but then he comes back and he takes $1,250. That's what drugs are. You know, like if you need energy or creativity, you're in some rock band, you need energy, you need pep, you need to be thin, whatever. Drugs will give you what you need to do that, but then they come back and they take all that plus more, and then you end up bloated like Corey Haim on television going, I'm in my own room for mall openings and hire me, you know, and just looks really bad. But here's what I was thinking. I was thinking this, that it is now time for Corey Haim and Corey Feldman to do a reunion movie.
Oh, Corey Feldman takes himself way too seriously. It would never happen.
Does he?
Absolutely.
How can you take yourself seriously if you're Corey Feldman?
He's a performer. He has his own band. He's a lead singer.
Well, we played his Jingle Bell Rock on here.
Yeah, because he was on The Surreal Life.
You know, Joni's a big fan of the Corey Feldman band.
Uh-huh.
She's gone to see him in concert twice, I think.
Oh.
Corey Feldman takes himself seriously?
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad. They're missing out. This is like that Cheech and Chong reunion movie that's going to happen. I'm telling you right now, like in the next year or two, That's the window, and then that window closes. Like for the outfield to get back together. The time is now for Corey Haim and Corey Feldman to be doing a reunion movie. I'd bankroll that myself if I could. All right, we should take these calls, and we'll break, and we'll do Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. Hello, this is also Tim. Tim, what's up?
Hey, nothing much. I wanted to know, are you selling your truck when you put the seats in?
Well, not right. I mean, not for the not in the immediate future, because Rick Emerson got to get to work, and today I drove the Focus, and it took me 2 hours. And Sarah said exactly what I was thinking. I woke up this morning. You know, you wipe the sleep out of your eyes. You walk into the kitchen, and you look outside, and it's just snowy death. And my first thought was like, God damn it, stupid 4Runner. You know, and so. We're going to get the seats put back in. Hopefully this guy Jay will do it in the next couple of days. And then I'm going to drive that until we get a new vehicle, which is going to happen soon. So, yeah, week, but in the next month, yeah.
You know what you should do so it won't get stolen? Go to Thrifty's Auto and buy one of those kill switches.
Buy what?
A kill switch.
Meaning?
It's like a little toggle, and you toggle it down, so if they try to start it up with the key or wire it, it won't start up.
Why wouldn't they just turn the switch to on?
Well, you have to hide it.
Oh, I see. You put it underneath somewhere. That's not a bad idea. Maybe they'll just steal the seats then.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay.
Okay. No. Maybe I'll suggest that to whatever sucker I can shove the truck off onto when I sell it.
Yeah, it's true.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you.
All right. There you go. Let's get one more. Lauren, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick.
Hi.
What the hell's wrong with you, man? Corey Haim and Corey Feldman were in the Goonies.
Corey Haim?
Yes. He was the main character,
man. That's Sean Astin, you dick.
He was the one of...
Oh, who's been in... Who's now got his pants dropped in front of the entire world, Lauren?
You know what? I still believe they're both in there, but here, I have something even better
Here's
you
what
can't
I,
still believe it, because it's not true.
Here's what I need to hear. Yes, Rick, you were right about that, and I, Lauren, am an ass.
Absolutely not. Never, ever, as long as I live.
But you'll dress up as a Playboy bunny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, of course. That's totally different.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Hold on.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except.
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please. Hold on him to the studio. All right. Hello, Scotty.
Good morning.
Scotty's typing the screen. Ladies. They were in the Goonies.
And gentlemen. You know what? I got my own back. They were in Goonies.
Hey.
I totally think they were both in there.
What character did Corey Haim play?
One of them was, right?
What character did Corey Haim play?
He was like a little guy.
you know, that one guy, wacky sidekick. The Gilligan thing, and then they were going to get off the island, but then he screwed it all up.
All right, let's take one at a time here. Scotty, what character did Corey Haim play in the Goonies?
He's the guy in the basement, man. Okay, I'm kidding. I know that... It was either Corey Haim or Feldman. Feldman?
So now you're no longer even sure that Corey Haim was in the Goonies.
Well, I thought they were pals and they were in everything together, just like the Olsen twins. So
they liked each other.
They were.
They did.
They were in seven. They were in seven movies. Lauren.
Lurch.
Are you Googling something right now?
Me? No, I'm actually driving.
All right. So are you going to stand by this assessment of yours?
I don't know. Now I'm second guessing myself.
Uh huh.
I hate that.
But I'm not going to, you know what, I have no way to prove it right now, so I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to say that I'm an ass.
I have a way. I'm just on IMDb.com.
We have this thing. We have this series of tubes here that allows us.
There's only some way. Yeah. Only some. It's too bad.
If there was only some way that we could do that, if there was only some method, some means. I'm trying to find it and I can't find it. Hold on. Don't you son of a bitch. You just be quiet.
Okay, wait. First of all, if I'm wrong, then yes, I will admit that I'm an ass, which is not that out of character for me anyway. But I do have something that will make up for it.
Okay, but hold on. I got to find. We can't move forward until I find the series of tubes.
The tubes.
I can't. I don't know where my series of tubes sounder went.
Hey, where'd Goonies take place at?
Well, what are you, insulting my intelligence
now? No, not
now?
You.
That's sorry, baby.
Okay.
All right. Well,
and actually, I got this right by the town that I grew up in. So.
All right. You're just going to have to pretend that we have the series of tubes sounder here, because I don't know where it went. All right. Are you prepared to admit that you were wrong?
anything for you, Rick.
All right. Now, here's what you need to say. You need to say, Rick.
As long as Scotty is there witnessing it.
You need to say, Rick, I was wrong about that.
Well, have we proven this?
Yes.
For the love of God.
Okay, Court? Rick.
Yes. Free.
Lauren, I just looked
Rick
at the list.
Ass, how's that?
Oh, it's just started snowing again.
Fantastic. Anyway, let's quickly, Sarah, if you would quickly to be listing off the actors who were in The Goonies.
Sean Astin, Josh Brolin, Jeff Cohen, Corey Feldman, Carrie Green, Martha Plimpton, Jonathan Kwan, John Matuszak, Robert Davey, Joe Palantino, Ann Ramsey, Lupe Ontiveros.
Well, that's funny. I don't hear any Corey.
Because now we're just on to guest appearances. Mary Ellen Trainer.
I don't hear any Corey Haim in that movie.
I think he was like a stunt extra or something.
Okay, thank you.
I'm curious to know who was in the basement. He was the guy that played that role.
Why does it matter? It's not Corey Haim.
He played Twat.
All right, and we're done. All right, thank you.
Oh, wait.
Yes?
So do you want to hear that there is a reunion?
Okay.
I swear to God, no, I have a friend that's actually Bichet up in Canada.
Yes.
I did an interview with them, and they're filming currently a reality show called The Return of the Lost Boys.
Oh, really?
Where Corey Feldman and his wife have a house up there, and Corey Haim, being the party boy, is up there. He's just basically making their life hell.
All right, then.
And this is currently going on right now.
Yeah. That's what? What?
No!
All right. Okay. And we're done. Let's break
the guy who played Sloth died.
Really?
Oh.
4 years after the movie was made, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Too much ice cream.
Why do you got to end this on a down?
I'm sorry. I thought you'd want to know.
I can't find the series of tubes. All right. It's 503-733-2970. It is a snow day. We're here. We're live. We'll be back after this with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. You stay right there.